Hi, it's Monday, September 29th, and it's 2 p.m., and welcome to Tavian's Talk of the Town, weighing in what's hot in the headlines. Each show is going to cover news in our community and in the world as it all affects us in some way. We're going to be discussing certain topics to inform and educate you, the listener. We, the public, are starting to be more aware of the big booty craze, as it's everywhere in the media. Nicki Minaj shows off her assets in her new Anaconda video, J-Lo and Iggy Azalea's video entitled Booty, and Beyonce in her Partition video. So let's talk about it. There are many, many rumors and misconceptions to what these celebrities are doing to get these great assets. Kim Kardashian even went so far as to have an X-ray done to dispel the myth that her booty wasn't fake. There are so many ways to get a rounder and shapelier bottom. I'll list a few for you guys. There's the Brazilian butt lift, where unwanted fat is removed from one part of the body, purified, and injected into the buttocks. The average price runs from $7,000 to $12,000. Then you have silicone butt injections. This is one of the most common materials used for butt implants. The liquid form of silicone can shift to other parts of the body, causing the formation of inflamed tissues. Average price, $1,300 to $3,000. And now, there's hydrogel injections. This procedure is illegal in the United States, but the market is still thriving. Patients who want to undergo this surgery usually go out of the country or search for doctors who will do the procedure regardless of it being illegal. Average price, $1,400 to $2,000. HuffingtonPost.com says that some of these products can kill, disfigure, and cause long-term health problems. Still, it's desired on the black market by untrained providers for women who want a shapelier, bigger buttock. Joining us in studio today is Crystal Marie. She's a certified personal trainer who specializes in getting great-looking glutes and building a bigger butt. She's also a prenatal instructor, a corrective movement specialist, and she's going to give us some tips and healthy training tips on how to get the assets that you've always wanted. Thank you so much for being here, Crystal.
Thank you for having me, Tavian.
Wonderful. So what do you think started this phenomenon of the big booty craze?
It's just social media, everything that's out there. Like you said, we have Nicki Minaj, we have Jennifer Lopez, just a lot of sexual attraction to the larger glutes.
I enjoy larger glutes. I like curves and stuff like that. But I want to discuss with you that there are healthier ways to get a more desirable body. You don't have to go under the knife. You don't have to spend thousands of dollars. You don't have to have weeks of downtime. So how did you get into personal training?
I actually wanted to build glutes and my lower body as well. So since I was 17, I've been in a gym just trying to build muscle, add a little bit more curves. And from there, I realized it's something I really enjoy doing, changing the body, how diet and weight training can really change your entire appearance.
So you started out just doing this for fun?
Definitely.
Oh, cool.
Playing with it for a while.
Good. So how long have you been a personal trainer?
I have been training for about 7 years now. So I've been an independent trainer for the last 4 years, specializing in corrective movement, nutritional science, bikini competition preps, injury prevention, and so forth.
So you do it all. You're certified in all those areas. That's fantastic. So you can service every type of client.
Every type of client. I don't do martial arts. I do not do yoga or Pilates.
What's your favorite type of client?
Ooh, favorite. Really just anyone who is motivated, anyone who realizes and understands the value and is willing to put in the time and the work to get what they want.
Mm-hmm. Excitement goes a long way.
Definitely.
And it helps your job to be easier when someone's excited and is ready to do the work and motivated.
Absolutely. Great vibes, good energy. Both of us work together, they'll get the results they want.
Do you prefer training inside or outside?
That really depends on the client. If we're just doing corrective movement, if we're doing any type of cardiovascular training, I would prefer to be outdoors. You feel better outside. It's beautiful in Southern California. If we're working with clients who are looking to really build muscle, I prefer to be indoors because obviously we would really need that equipment, the weights. So then I would like to be inside of a fully equipped gym.
So I'm looking at these glutes right now, everyone that's listening, and they look great. So are you lifting weights? So what are you doing to get these glutes in this beautiful buttock here?
I do weight training. I train 6 days a week. I have been training for the past, like I said, since I was 17. I am getting ready for a bikini competition.
Wow, so congratulations.
Thank you.
What competition is it?
I'm going to be doing the NPC Bikini first class.
Good job.
Thank you.
Is this your first show?
This will be my first show. I've prepped for two others, but due to time constraints, this will be my first time on stage.
So it takes a lot of time to get yourself together for these type of shows. Are you like breaking it down? Do you have to like change your entire diet?
You do need to change your diet. You need to change your training program. You need to have sufficient rest days. You need dedication. You need to put in the time. You need to work hard. And in the end, you'll have the results you're looking for.
You got to be focused, man.
Definitely focused.
So if for some of us students here on campus, how many times a week should we be working out just to maintain good health? And then if you want to go above and beyond and get, you know, maybe a little J-Lo curve, what's going on? Like, how many times a week should we really be working out?
If we're talking about maintenance, you would be okay with 3 to 4 times a week. Just hitting, you could either break it up by body parts. You can get full body. If we're talking about changing your entire body, changing a lifestyle, I would try to put in more 5 days, maybe 6 days a week, just really dedicating yourself into making big changes, progressions, strength. Just you really have to work hard.
It sounds like it, and you look like you work hard.
Thank you.
What's your best exercise for building a great buttock? Because I got my listeners are listening, and they want to know what do I need to do? They want to look like Kim Kardashian. They want to build up, you know, muscles and flat tummies. What's your favorite exercise?
Well, we have our overall winner. You have squats, deadlifts, lunges. That's just your main compound movements. If we're talking about isolation, glute bridges are
really
great.
Explain what you mean isolation.
If we want to focus mainly on the glutes, so isolate. We want to try to cancel out all of the other larger muscle groups that would be moving the weight or taking over the exercise for you. So if we want to focus in on glutes, the bridge, let's say we were going into a barbell bridge, weighting the hips, going into a flexion with the hip, into a hip extension, that would focus a lot of tension on the glutes, which is what you would want if you're working into hypertrophy training.
And so you would do 3 sets of each exercise and just keep it compounded to that one area?
I would bump it up. I would do 5 sets.
Really?
It's such a, like I said, it kind of isolates the glutes. So I would take it up a little bit more opposed to a squat, which would be more full body. You have assisting muscles to help you get through that movement. In a bridge, I could keep it down. I would bring it up to about 5 sets, higher reps.
Okay. I hear you. So how long does it take for someone to actually start seeing results?
Again, that depends on where they're starting. Obviously, the more body fat you have, the less conditioned your body is, the longer it'll take. If you have a good starting point, you see results in a few weeks, 4 to 8 weeks, you can start to see results. If you're pairing exercise and you're very consistent and you're progressing every week, every 2 weeks, your diet is intact, your nutrition is on point, your nutrition complements your training, you can progress quite a bit in about 10 weeks. Again, it really depends on where you're starting at, but
I was going to ask you, so if someone's doing weightlifting and weight training and they're building glutes and a stronger bum, should it be integrated with cardio as well, or should we just stick to the weights?
If there's body fat that needs to be shed, definitely focus on that cardio training. If we're just focusing on building glutes, it's weight training, loading the muscle. You want to tear the muscle fibers so that they'll be able to repair, so that they will become stronger, overlap, and you'll have a larger, tighter muscle.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had a question. So if someone can't make it into the gym to get the weights, what are some other alternatives to building a nice round bum and great glutes? What's another alternative?
I mean, we could take this outdoors. You can do this inside of your house. We have so many props all around us. We have benches. You can go into step-ups. You could do bridges pretty much anywhere that you're at. You could do squats. You can work into plyometrics. We have hills all over the place. There's sand dunes. There's so much we can use instead of joining a gym and having to pay for a membership. There's so many things around us we can use.
Yeah, we've got a lot of things we can use actually here on campus. We have a really long stairway. We have lots of hills here. We have plenty of benches where you can get in tricep work and all kind. We have a great gym. So we have a lot of places here on campus where students can get in workouts as well. So like other activities like hiking, rollerblading, stairs, are these exercises that help build stronger muscles as well, or is this more cardio?
That would be cardio. You would strengthen the lower body. Obviously stairs, you're using glutes, hamstrings, quads. We're definitely strengthening, going into strength endurance for the lower body. But again, to build muscle, actually work into the hypertrophy training, you really need to go into a heavier load. You need to completely fatigue the muscle. That would probably be done with a little bit more weight. Again, you don't always need that. You can go into fatigue where you just work until the muscle can no longer perform. Make sure you have sufficient protein and the body is going to repair itself, and you can make it work.
And that was good. You're working your way right into my next question. So after we've worked out, we've loaded up, we've done our weights, we even ran up that hill right here on Pierce College campus. What are we eating? How many times should we be eating a day if someone is working out this consistently?
Let's see. So most people like to stick to about 5 to 6 smaller meals a day. I don't believe that will make much of a difference. Your body really calculates more through a week opposed to a day. It takes a week for your metabolism to change, for your body to go into an overload of excess calories, or if you have a deficit of calories. So it's more on a weekly basis, but daily it's easier to keep track with smaller meals. That really only just helps to make sure that you're keeping your cravings away, you don't binge. That's just to keep it consistent. So it's whatever really works for you and your schedule. You need to keep it clean. Eating food, it really depends if you need to drop weight and you need to cut back on your calories, or if you need to put on some weight and you want to build that muscle and body fat isn't really your issue, then you want to up your calories.
Up your calories.
Definitely.
What's the best food to eat after a workout? A lot of people run into this problem, and you know what? After a workout, I really want a burger. Is that bad? I really want a juicy burger after a great workout, and I'm happy with that. So from the professional, what should we be eating after we work out?
You want to get in simple and complex carbs. You also want to get in a little bit of protein after a workout. It's whatever works best for your body, whatever's easier, but you do want to get those carbs and protein in after the workout.
Okay. Well, see, I got in some carbs and protein.
That's exactly what you
That's
got.
That's exactly what I did. I put avocado on top of it,
There you go, and you got some healthy fats.
Yeah, look at me.
That's a rounded meal.
Well, why is protein so important? And I know it helps build muscle, but why is it so important when you're working out?
Protein with the amino acid profile actually helps repair torn muscle fibers. So when you're training hard enough and you're working the muscle to fatigue, you're actually making little micro tears in the muscle fibers. And when you go to bed, obviously, everything happens when we're asleep and the body repairs itself. The protein helps the muscle fibers repair, helps build new muscle. So it's just, it's helping the body recover from the amount of stress you've put on the muscles.
So what you basically said is we're going to rip down the muscle. We're going to lift weights. We're going to shred it to pieces.
Exactly.
We're going to eat a lot of protein.
Yes.
We're going to wake up with brand new muscle.
And definitely. We'll have
great bodies, great bums, and great glutes.
As long as the nutrition is on point, you're training hard, you're making those progressions, you're dedicating yourself, and you're knowledgeable about what you're doing and how you're moving, that's exactly what will happen. New body.
What are some new body? I love it. What are some options for protein? Because people kind of hit a dead end with that. They kind of keep eating the same things over and over. What are some good proteins?
For, let's say you're vegetarian, you can get protein through a non-GMO soy. You can take in hemp protein. We have, there's so many options. It's endless. There's pea protein. You can get protein through your nuts. You can get protein, obviously, through your fish, through your chicken, turkey, meats. There's supplements. You can take whey protein, casein protein, soy protein, egg protein. Obviously, eggs are a great source of protein. We have nuts. You can really, there's no reason why we don't get our protein intake. There's so many options.
There's a lot of options. What about protein shakes?
It's
a big thing when, like, I see guys all the time with shakes, and I used to drink protein shakes myself. I would use it as a meal replacement.
Yes.
Because I would be on the go all the time. I have a great breakfast and then have my shake. So what's the deal with protein shakes?
I mean, it's just easier on the go. If you're if you have time constraints, it's the easiest way to get your protein in. You don't have to go home. You don't have to prepare any foods. You don't have to make a meal. You don't have to cook. That really would just help if you're on the road and you don't have time to prepare food. If you can go home and eat, it's always best to have whole foods. You want to get all of your protein, your mm-hmm. nutrients, everything from whole foods.
So you should be packing a lunch before you leave the house in the morning, basically.
Definitely. Saves you money. Your body will definitely thank you.
All right. Well, what do you think are some, what are some good healthy snacks? Because sometimes I get bored. I have a banana and an apple every day. What are some good healthy snacks? I'm a snacker.
You can snack on almonds, cashews, any type of nut that you choose. You can just bring a little bit of broiled or baked chicken breast with you. That'll be fine. It'll last you throughout the day. If you do not have a sensitivity to dairy, non-fat Greek yogurt is great. You can carry some fats with you. There's just so many options. Sweet potato on the go.
I love a sweet potato on the go.
Definitely.
And that's a good carb, right?
Absolutely.
That's a great carb.
Absolutely.
I love sweet potato on the go. Now, since if we're working outside and for dehydration purposes, how much water is enough water? How much water are we supposed to be drinking anyway a day?
You want to take, at a minimum, your body weight in ounces of water every day. Obviously, when it's a little hotter outside, when you're sweating, when you're working hard, you want to up that. But at a bare minimum, you want to keep the ounces per body weight.
Ounces per body weight.
1 ounce per pound.
1 ounce per pound.
Definitely.
Got it. Now, she said it in English terms, not those fancy trainer terms. We got it. So when you're putting together a program for your client, how do you kind of like personalize it for them because you have so many different types of clients?
It just depends on the amount of time they have to put in, what their goals are, where they're starting at, if they have any compensations, injuries, really just their end goal and where they're at and how much time they can give.
Is that where the corrective movement specialist part comes in?
Yes.
Like, what does that mean?
So throughout our day, we're sitting at a desk, we're sitting in our car, our hips are in a flexed position. Women, we carry large bags on our shoulders. We talk on cell phones. We're at a desk. There's just so many postural imbalances. which over time really begin to affect the kinetic chain. It's a lot of stress on, I mean, your lower back is going to take all of the stress of being in a seated position all day long, which then, again, everything is connected. The body works together as a unit. Your lower back is tight. Your glutes are tight. Hamstrings, hips are tight. It just starts to shoot either up or down the body or both, which mm-hmm. then affects your daily movements. And then you overcompensate, whether it be anterior or posterior, left or right. And then when you go into a gym or you go to move any type of weight or to squat, to step up, go downstairs, wherever you stress the body or whatever was overcompensating just might fail you.
So maybe someone should start with corrective movement training first and then kind of move into doing other types of training.
It's always good to get a nice assessment done to move in a dynamic fashion to warm up. If there's any imbalances, you definitely want to address that before you load the body.
Okay. Are your sessions one-on-one or do you do group sessions?
I have done group sessions. I prefer one-on-one. I really want to engage that client, focus all my attention on their body, how they're moving, how they're feeling, how they're responding. So I do prefer one-on-one.
Okay. All right. It's me and you one-on-one, and we're getting ready to work out, and I want to build a better asset. Take me from beginning to end of a training session with you and I.
Well, looking at you, we can see that you're obviously very fit.
You have an amazing body.
We wouldn't have to worry about any of the smaller details.
She's so nice.
We would get you moving. So if we're talking about working through your glutes, we want to inhibit. We want to lengthen and activate. I would have you hop on a foam roller. You would go into self-myofascial release. That is just applying pressure to any adhesions you might have. I would focus, again, if we're working on lower body, I would focus on your hips, your adductors, your TFL, IT band, quads. Make sure everything's open. There's no compensations. There's no adhesions. There would be nothing to prevent your glutes from activating during the movement.
It's all glutes, baby.
All glutes. That's what we want.
All right. So how can everyone get in touch with you? Where can we find you if they have information, if they want to train? Where can these our listeners find you?
I work out of Beverly Hills. They can reach me at my email, which would be crystalmarie.resch@gmail.com. And I can answer any questions, any concerns, go over nutrition, training. Everything can be reached through that email.
So you'll do like nutrition as well? Is that part of your assessment when you meet with a new client? You
absolutely.
Discuss everything.
Absolutely. Nutrition goes hand in hand with fitness.
Do you go to clients' homes or do you just practice at this particular gym?
I do both. I do, I'm probably about 70% in home, and maybe 4 days out of the week, I rent space out of private gyms.
Okay. I like the private scene because sometimes you don't want everybody to see what you're doing and how you're
squatting
you really
and
what's
focus.
Going on. And you also, you're a pre-postnatal instructor.
Yes.
And do you have any expecting moms right now that you're training?
I did. She had a baby probably 7-8 months ago.
Wow.
And she trained
through the whole entire?
Until the day her baby was born.
Wow.
Came right back in the second her doctor gave her clearance.
So do you think that training that whole entire time was helpful to her delivery?
This was her third child, her first two pregnancies. I believe the labor lasted anywhere from 8 to 10 hours. Her third child, where it was the first time she trained through a pregnancy, it was a 2 hour from the second she walked into the hospital. 2 hours later, her child
was
born.
Well, that sounds like a deal breaker to me. We're going to train the whole entire time, okay, lady?
Absolutely.
So tell our listeners again where we can find you. What's your email address again?
My email is crystalmarie.resch, that's R-E-S-C-H, @gmail.com. Again, it's Crystal Marie, crystalmarie.resch@gmail.com.
All right. Well, it's my pleasure to be doing this show right here on KPCRadio.com because it gives professionals the platform to inform college students, faculty, and other listeners about getting educated on these topics. And I'm glad a professional such as yourself is here and available to give the answers. You've been listening to Crystal right here on KPCRadio.com. Thanks for joining me for Tavian's Talk of the Town. We'll see you next week, but stay tuned for Jasmine Haynes.